We're learning Michtam Eliyahu. We're in volume 1 of the Hebrew edition on page 81. Those who have the Hebrew edition. The shiur is called the shiur on Tehillim. The shiur that Rav Dessler gave on Tehillim, on the first chapter of Tehillim. And the background is that he gave this class to women in about 1942-1943 in a place called Chesham in England. So he was there, they were there, a lot of those who lived in towns, London etc., were sent out to small towns because of the bombing. There was tremendous bombing in England, so therefore he was there at that time in that town, and he gave this class to the women there. The intention of this class, which what the editors bring here in the book, was that there was a problem in England at the time that it was also a type of attitude, a certain attitude in England. There were a lot of young men coming over who'd escaped from Europe. They'd come from yeshivas, they'd come from kollelim, and they were in England now. And they came, they were penniless. And there was a problem of shidduchim, finding shidduchim for these young men. And the problem was that in England at the time, the emphasis was more on panosa, that a young man should have a proper livelihood, he should have a proper career, he should have a proper a job. And therefore, these men who were Torah people, Torah men, Torah yeshiva men, so they were looked down on a little bit. And it was, and obviously there was no money, so it was very, very difficult for them to be recognized and to have any type of stature. And the intention of this class was to raise, he was speaking to women, it was to raise the stature of yeshiva people in their eyes, and that's what he chose here to tell him to use it as a means to get this message over, to give importance to those who dedicate their lives to Torah study. And it's brought here also in the notes that there were from this very shiur, there were a number of women who did marry afterwards, young ladies who did marry yeshiva men afterwards. They were influenced by this class that they did actually marry yeshiva men. So he goes through the first chapter of Tehillim, chapter we all know well, and he explains it word by word. Right? The Pasuk Rishon, Beinyan Chaverim Roim. Right? The first verse deals with the issue of having bad company, bad friends, or wicked friends, keeping bad company with the wrong type of people. So it says in Tehillim, Ashrei ha'ish asher lo holoch ba'atzus reshoim. Right? Fortunate, happy. Ashrei means happy. Fortunate is the person who didn't go in the counsel of the wicked. Rosha we normally mean is someone who is, he might be a very nice person towards his neighbors and in his community, but in terms of his relationship with Hashem, it's very poor. He doesn't give much importance to his relationship with keeping mitzvahs, ben adam lamokim, between himself and Hashem. So fortunate is a person who keeps away from the rishoyim. So this explains as follows. Firstly, the word ashrei. Ashrei means fortunate, and he says ashrei is loshen rabim. Right? They're all types of happiness, plural. It's ashrei is in the plural. Kol minei oisha, all types of happiness come to the person. Right? Come to the person described here in these verses. Kol minei oisha mi kol tzad, from every type of aspect, every type of angle, a person experiences a satisfaction and a happiness with this lifestyle. Ki atzara koton yivatel es ha'oisha, because we know that sometimes even the smallest pain can spoil a person's happiness. Everything can be wonderful, but something really bothers you, something really annoys you, irritates you, and that upsets your whole happiness. So therefore, this is a type of happiness, this type of happiness, that even if there is something annoying, something that's bothering you, so that type of unhappiness, that type of interference, and when a person has a certain level of happiness, so any type of the interference that normally would spoil his happiness would be like nothing. Right? We could give an analogy: a person has just won the lottery, and in his excitement, you know, he's waving his arms around. He knocks a cup, and it falls and it breaks on the floor. So you know, how upset is he about this cup that just broke? It only costs a few pennies. and he's just won the lottery. So, you know, it's even part of the fun, yeah? You know, broke a cup. So that's the type of happiness. It's a type of happiness where a person gets to such a level of happiness that even upsets, things that are normally upsetting to a person would not upset him anymore. So that's what the type of happiness we're speaking about. Ashrei kol minei oish, all types of happiness. It's like it's a whole range of happiness. A person gets into a sort of a happiness mode. All types of happiness surround him. And we understand that would have to be a happiness that's intrinsic. Because the happiness that's outward would not be in every, couldn't be in the whole range. But if it's something intrinsic, a person's wearing, the expression is rosy coloured glasses, so then everything is rosy, right? Because whatever he looks at is all wonderful, it's all fantastic. So that's really the type of happiness we're talking about, that's intrinsic. It's also the word asher is also linked to the Hebrew word oisher, lasher is to substantiate, right? So therefore it's to allow. It's just, it's an opening. It's a happiness that just opens the doors. Right, this is a root. This is a single root. In other words, the idea that ishu normally means a permit. Right, if you go into the government office, they give you an ishur. So the word ishu means a permit. So it's the same idea. The word permit and the word happiness is the same root, the same theme idea. Because someone who's happy with the happiness which Torah living brings him, so he receives all types of praise and all types of permit, all types of permission. Everything becomes open towards him. Nothing is closed anymore. With this type of happiness, everything is wonderful. Everything is accessible. There's no dark corners anymore. It's all fantastic. It's all wonderful. Right? You're holding the torch of Torah, so like a torch, there are no dark corners because you just shine. Wherever you shine your torch, it already lightens up that dark spot. Because it's all incorporated. Whatever happens in our lives, right, so with a Torah approach, we know how to understand it, we know how to approach it, we know how to enjoy it, we know how to make the most of it and use it as a step ladder to get to whatever we need to get to. Ashrei ha'ish. Now the term ish, as opposed to other types of usage we use for a person, an Adam, right, or Enosh. So the term ish specifically means Adam Mitsuyan, a person who is outstanding. Ish is a term used for someone who's a tzaddik, someone who's outstanding, ubal maila, person who's on a higher level. So happy is this person who reaches a higher spiritual level. This is the way Rashi explains it in the Chumash in Bamidbar, that ish means mitsuyan, someone's outstanding. Asher loy holoch, who didn't walk in the ways of the wicked. So loy rak shaloy yoshov, not only that he didn't sit with them. The mokum anoshim hareim, you know, when they sit in company, you sit with friends and you chat. Not only does he not sit in their company, he does not sit as part of their clique, part of their group. Gam loy omad etzlam lefisha, even doesn't stand with them even for a moment. Ach gam loy holoch, he didn't sit with them, he didn't stand with them. Ach gam loy holoch elem ledaver imem kereg, he also doesn't even walk towards them, he doesn't even just to speak to them for a moment. Now there are three levels. There's sitting with someone, where you get comfortable. Then there's when you stand and talk to someone. So if you're standing and talking to someone, so then it can't be too long, because how long can you stand? So it's a shorter period. And then you walk to someone, so then that you walk to someone just maybe to exchange a word or just to ask something. So that's the least time. So here it speaks about this Ashra Ish Asher Loi Holoch. He didn't even walk towards the wicked person. He doesn't even walk towards them. Right? In order to get advice from the wicked, he doesn't want to hear any advice from the Rosha. He doesn't want this Rosha to give him any of his life view, his opinions. You know, he's a shkofa. He doesn't want the shkofa. He doesn't want the outlook which comes from a Rosha. Not only in terms of mitzvahs and averas does he not want to hear from the Rosha, because obviously the Rosha's view is very perverted. It's very contaminated. It's a very non-Torah view when it comes to keeping mitzvahs. Avalgam kol min etzah. He doesn't want any advice from him, even in a parva issue, even in a secular issue. He doesn't want his advice. He doesn't want to talk to this person and get this person's view on life. For instance, if this Rosh happens to be an expert doctor, right? He's one of the top professors in his field. He wouldn't ask his advice unless he was actually needed to. In other words, even though this is a person that's respected in society, he's a professor and he's top in his field and he's a specialist, etc. So unless he really needs this specialist for his speciality, this person is the only person who can help him with a certain ill health issue. Besides for that circumstance, when obviously he will go to the professor, otherwise he will try and stay away from him. And certainly he doesn't want to chat with him, and certainly he doesn't want to hear his view on life, right? Because that view of life comes from this outlook, this perverted outlook. Lama ki efsha shishab elov, because it could be that through chatting with him, he attaches himself to him, he becomes a friend to him. Right? The word chaver is the word chibur, it becomes an attachment. You form an attachment with people who you speak with, and then there's a link created. And certainly if afterwards he owes him a favor, he has to acknowledge him, and he's in debt to him, and he has to thank him, so then that creates a obligation towards this person. If this person now comes and helps you, the person who's a Rosh has helped you, so you owe him, you're indebted to him, you have to be very friendly with him, and you have to be patient with him, and he talks to you, you have to listen, you can't be impolite to someone who's helped you in the past. So therefore, that's why there's a reluctance to have contact with such people. As v'day libo yiskarev elav ma'at, if he is obligated to him, then certainly his heart will already become closer to the other person. There'll be an attachment, a bondage formed. V'gam ki ha'rosh ha'tomid b'chol dvoro v'yis'avu dvorim ro'im, and also for the fact that the Rosh in all of his words come up evil words, right? The wicked person speaks wicked things, so therefore it comes up in his regular conversation. And there's a fear that he will learn from this person's attitude. This person's world attitude will affect him. So therefore Rashi said that if you do go to ask him his advice, first you come to ask him, then he says, he starts talking to you, so you stand. So then he says, sit down. So then you sit down. You're not going to, you're not going to be impolite. He says, sit down. So therefore, through walking with him, through talking to him, you'll come to stand with him, you'll come to sit with him. And therefore you'll start learning from his ways. We influence each other. Each person influences others. So therefore, by being in this person's company, you're going to be influenced. Our sages have said, don't look into the face of a wicked person. Because just by looking at him, that also cools down your own fear of heaven. As even a person with a very big Yerushalayim, he has a great level of having awe of Hashem, respect for Hashem. But just looking at such a person who's so indifferent, so it cools us down a little bit. Maybe even it cools us down 1 degree or 2 degrees, but still we've been cooled down. Right? Just with looking at him, it already cools down his own appreciation and closeness to Hashem, which is in his heart. Right? Our heart is our temple. Our heart is our most precious organ. We're not speaking about the physical heart, which pumps blood. We're speaking about the innermost part of our consciousness, the core of our consciousness, our sensitivity, our most sensitive aspect of our personality is what we call the heart. The true desire of a person resides in his heart, and therefore that's what we want to protect. We want to protect our hearts from being infiltrated. And for instance, as an example, someone who saw people breaking Shabbos, so that takes away his own sensitivity to the holiness of Shabbos. For him, Shabbos is now not as holy as it used to be before he saw this action. Okay, so that's the first phrase, right? Fortunate is the person who doesn't walk in, who doesn't walk towards, and even spend a very small amount of time with the wicked. Right? Listening to the advice, listening to the opinions of the wicked people. Wicked again, meaning people who have a disregard for Hashem and Hashem's Torah. Next phrase, he doesn't stand in the way of the chatoim. Chatoim we normally translate as sinners. if he needs to go to the choite, to the one who is the sinner, ha-roshe hu ha-mezid. Now, the way roshe we translate, someone who's wicked, we use the word in English wicked, so that's someone who on purpose sins against Hashem, knowingly sins against Hashem. He's conscious of not keeping Torah, not keeping mitzvahs, etc. Ha-choite, someone who we call a sinner, is shoigeg, he does it accidentally. So it's an accident, but it's not a pure accident. There's a certain type of disrespect that he has which causes him to be lax, which causes him to slip up. He makes mistakes because it's not that important to him. He's frum and he keeps mitzvahs, but you know, this slides and that slides. So such a person is called a choite. And about the ideal person also will not want to spend time with the choite. There's someone who even though he sins inadvertently, is still a sinner. He does need to spend some time with the sinner in order to rebuke him. We have an obligation to rebuke a person if possible. If you're able to speak words to someone and that person will listen to you and be affected by what you say, then you're obligated to speak to him. If you can influence him somehow with your words, you must. And that's even 100 times. Even though you spoke to him and he said yes, and then he forgot, he went back to his old way, you have to say it to him a second time, you have to say it to him a third time, even 100 times. So there is an obligation to interact with the choite. Right? Not the Rosha. The Rosha is right, the Rosha he was not going to listen to you. But with the choite there must be an obligation to speak to him. And to teach him how he should repair the damage he's done. However, you will not delay with a sinner one moment more than you need to. As if you need to spend time with him, to speak to him, to influence him, so then that's necessary for his benefit. So whether you have to spend with him 5 minutes or you have to speak to him with 5 hours, whatever it is, you're doing it for his need to teach him, so that's necessary. But beyond that need, once you've spoken to him enough, once you've got the message through, so you want to stay over and chat a little bit more, so that you already move away from him. So that's what it's referring to. But derech hatov lo omad, he won't spend any extra time with a sinner. Gam yoisim izeh. And he won't even stand with him. He won't sit with him. He won't even stand and talk to him, even for a short while. He will strive to flee from the environment of the sinner. Even though this is a person who's sinning inadvertently through ignorance. Nevertheless, it's not good to spend time in his presence more than is necessary. To try and avoid him as much as possible. And the third phrase, because we spoke about the Rosha, and we spoke about the Choite. The third phrase used as a Moshev Leitzim Lo Yoshev. The third phrase is the Leitz. A Leitz. So we normally translate Leitz as a joker. He's a joker. He's a scoffer. He tells jokes, you know. Maybe sometimes it seems innocent, but he's making fun of. He makes fun of issues. He's the joker. Says Rav Desla, Leitz einenu rak ha'oisek b'schoik v'hitl. The joker, the Leitz, is not only someone who tells jokes and makes fun of, ridicules other things. Right? Akol ha'hoilech botl nikra Leitz. Rather, any type of wastrel is called a Leitz. Someone who just wastes time. You know, he's willing to just let the hours slip by doing nothing. So he wastes his time and he doesn't give importance to time. Time that could be spent in study of Torah, in doing mitzvahs, etc. He just lets that go to waste. Right? He spends his time on nothing. So that's also called a Leitz. Because he's also scoffing the precious gift of time. Every moment is precious, so therefore if he's disregarding it, so he's making fun of it, he's ridiculing the life that Hashem gives him. So that's also called a Leitz. Kein Kosev Rabbeinu Yoinazal, B'Shari Tshuva, Simon Kuvayin Zayin, that's how Rabbeinu Yoinazal describes it. V'Kein Mefurish B'Gemora. And also the Gemara says this explicitly. It says, Shnayim Sheyoshvu V'Ein B'Neim Divrei Teira. If two people sit together, talking about two from people sitting together, and they don't speak Divrei Teira, they don't bring up issues which are to do with the Torah lifestyle, with which have Torah importance, that's called the company of jokers. If they're sitting, but there's no Torah based conversation. There's no conversation based on serving Hashem and coming closer to Hashem. So that's called the session of Leitzim. So someone certainly who wastes his time and he just spends his time on nonsense, so certainly such a person will lack Yerushalayim. Ki ilu ayu hamitzvos chashuvos be'einos ech yeshev botel. If the mitzvahs really were important to him, how could he just disregard it? If it's really so important, how could he just ignore it? Al kein roi lishnabel shelo lashevis im aleitzim. And therefore, a God-fearing person should be careful not to spend time to sit in the company of the jokers. Ki efshel lilmoid mehem lezalzel b'mitzvos. Because we learn from them to cheapen the mitzvahs, that the mitzvahs themselves become slightly cheaper, not to the degree of this person, but it has an effect. You know, it rubs, again, like we spoke before, that the choita cools us down, so the lates also, it rubs off on us the sense of ridicule, of making fun of the mitzvahs, of joking about the mitzvahs. And now this has an extra diuk here. He says, and even in the place of the jokers, he doesn't want to sit. The place where they normally sit, he doesn't want to, even they're not there. The place where the jokers normally sit, he doesn't want to sit in that place. Even that place where these jokers sit doing nothing and are lazy about fulfilling mitzvahs, Yoshim Tommy, there's a place they like to sit. Lo Yeshev, he won't sit. Even when those leitzim aren't in that place, they have a certain street corner they like to hang around, right? A street corner type. Yeah? So there's a certain bench they like to sit on, right? And that's where they like to sit and chat, and that bench, that's their favorite bench. It's interesting, where we are, there is a certain bench that where there's certain young men who sit there. And so a few months ago, the bench broke, and no one's repaired it. So it's just famous. So you look at that broken, yeah. Well, if it should stay broken, yeah. So even to be sitting there when they're not there, because if you're sitting in their place, it could be they'll come along and then you'll be with them. So that's the concern. Okay, that takes us through the first verse of Tehillim Aleph. Right? Lamatnu mizeh. We learn from this. From this verse, we learn. Right? This is in our introductory verse. Ka'isha mitzuya nubal ma'ad. A person who looks to be outstanding. And as he's looking to do the right thing in the best possible way, to the best of his ability, all the time. He's looking to do the best he can, and as much as possible for him. Obviously, a person has to be normal. A person has to live within his normal capabilities, his normal strengths. But within what's possible for him, what's normal for him, he's trying to do his best. And he's a Baal Mile, a person who strives for reaching a higher level. That he's able to flee from the company of evil people. To the degree that he won't even sit in the place where the scoffers normally sit. Because maybe that'll also have an effect on him. In other words, he's very sensitive as to not being affected by those people who have a much lower standard than himself. Right? He adds in brackets here, even though we are very far from this level, but each person according to his own capabilities. So this is the person who's going to be happy with all types of happiness, kol yomei chayav, all of his life. This is the first key to accessing this absolute sense of happiness. All of his days, constantly, all the time. No pain is going to spoil his happiness from him. We have to also learn, even according to our much smaller level, we're speaking about Gedolim here, even according to our own personal level, how much we have to make an effort to keep away from the company of people who themselves are distant from Torah and mitzvahs. Okay, that was verse 1. Verse 2. So verse 2 is Kim Bateris Hashem Cheftzoi. Right? You know, before we were just cancelling out the negative. So now we're going to go on to the positive. Right? Okay, so first, if you're drowning in the ocean, so first make sure you don't drown. and then afterwards you can start building a skyscraper in the middle of the ocean, right? So, Ki'im b'teres Hashem cheftzei, rather, the desire of this person, okay, so he's not involved in their activities. Their interests don't interest him. Their sports and their conversations and their debates, etc., don't interest him. So what does interest him? Ki'im, rather, b'teres Hashem cheftzei, his desire is in the Torah of Hashem. The Torah of Hashem, Torah, you know, means instruction, the instruction for living that we have in the Torah, we have from Hashem. In the Torah, Hashem chefetz, called chefetz levavei, the entire desire of his heart, of this person, this special person, who strives to be on a high level. So the desire of his heart, einenu b'shum dover acher, is not in any other subject, is not in any other interest, el rak b'teres Hashem levad, only in terms of the way of Hashem, the Torah of Hashem. Ha'ish ha'godl hazeh, right, this person, this great person, kol machshavoso, v'kol ritzoino, he's all of his thoughts and all of his desire, kol shivoso, v'kol tikvoisov, hem rak ledover achad. All of his ambitions, all of his drives, all of his hopes are only aimed at one thing. And really, this is like we've been saying in the Tehillim every day, Achaz Shalti Meis Hashem. There's one thing I'm looking for. So this is God is only looking, Kim, only the Torah of Hashem is his desire. It's just one focus, one main issue that's the issue. And that's Avodas Hashem, is the service of Hashem. To be striving to do the service of Hashem. Whatever he needs to do for his own livelihood in this world, to earn a living, to have a job in this world, he only wants it if he has a job or if he has a business. So he only wants it because through this he will be able to live, and he'll be able to, it'll give him the ability to engage in Torah and mitzvahs. So therefore, even the secular pursuit that he has to, whatever he has to do, right? Whether he has to have a job, whether he has to go shopping, whether he has to go to the dentist, whatever it is, even that, all of that also is geared to helping him towards living a life of Torah and mitzvahs. The cheftzo hu kach, yan ki teres Hashem hi. And the reason it is so, this is his desire, because this is the Torah of Hashem. This is the instruction of Hashem. This is Hashem himself, right? The master of the universe himself has given us instructions. He's given us directions how we should conduct ourselves, and that's what we want. We want to do what he's telling us to do. He's telling us to live our lives like this, like this, like that. That's exactly what we want. We want to do it his way. We want to do it the way he wants us to do it. Okay, how can you possibly want anything else? Right? Who's in competition with Hashem? Who's offering an alternative to Hashem's guidelines for living? How can he possibly take an interest in some other area when he has that is vis-a-vis, that's against the Torah of Hashem, which is before him? He is able with every moment to draw closer and closer to Hashem. Right? It's like you're on a highway, so each step you take is one step closer, one step closer, one step closer. Well, you know, so if you don't need to stop, so why stop? If you can keep moving, so why not? Just keep going. Keep going. If you need to rest, you need to rest. But if you don't need to rest, you can keep moving. So maybe you're not running, maybe you're not sprinting, but at least you're walking. So maybe you're walking slowly, but you're still walking. At every opportunity to come closer, so you use that opportunity. And certainly you don't look to go the other direction. Certainly you don't look to go off the path. So therefore, that is the interest. That's the sole interest of a person, that to come closer to Hashem, who is Adon Kol Ha'aretz, Ribon Kula Masim, the one who is master of the entire universe and the lord of all actions. He's the lord of all, everything that happens. Everything that happens in this world is totally under his control. It's totally with his management. It's totally according to his plan. And if they were to put a person into these treasuries of the king, if they put a person in the king's treasuries, and they said to him, look, you can take whatever you want. There's gold here, there's silver here, there's precious stones, precious gems, diamonds, jewels, as much as you want. Vazman katzar, but you're only here for a short while. Vesham harbe me'oid lasov, there's endless amounts to be gathered. It's the treasure itself is endlessly huge. and the wealth there is endlessly precious, but you're only here for a short while. A person has an appreciation of what he has. Would he allow himself even a moment to be doing something else? Right? Obviously, this is a precious opportunity. So this is the attitude of Ki'im B'Toyz Hashem Chevtzoi. Will he not busy himself day and night to his utmost abilities? Only together in this silver and gold. So kacha isha gol. So it is with a great person, who knows how much wealth there is, who knows how much happiness there is in the Torah of Hashem, right? How much eternity. You're acquiring eternity with our small deeds in this world. We acquire eternity. 2 minutes here is eternity. So therefore, if a person has this appreciation, how is it possible so that he should not leave everything else and only want this one thing? Now the verse goes on to say, we're in verse 2 of Ashra'ish. So the verse goes on to say, ubetoirose yege yoimon velayno. So the first part of the verse was ki im betoir Hashem chifto, his desire is for the Torah Hashem, the Torah of Hashem, the directions of Hashem, and in his Torah, he thinks day and night. He thinks about it. He ruminates about it. He thinks about it. Meditates on it. Says Rav Dessler, "Ubetoirosa im ki betchila ohav kolkach esatir mivneishi Torah Hashem." If originally he so loved the Torah because this was the Torah of Hashem. When a person gets involved in Torah thought, in Torah study, in Torah learning, in Torah lifestyle, when a person starts involving himself in it, he starts investing it, he gives his life to it, he'll come to love it even more. You create a relationship with the Torah lifestyle. It becomes an attachment, and it becomes a source of love. You love it. He'll come to feel that the Torah is his Torah. Eventually, that's the Teirosei, right? That which was before Teiros Hashem becomes Teiros, becomes his Teir. It's in his Teirah that he toils. It becomes his own Teirah. Ki Yagisha Teir Yishalevi, he kol hoino. It becomes his wealth. This is his project. It becomes his personal project. This is where he's invested his time. This is where he's given hours and hours and days and weeks of his own time. He's put it, his whole self into this pursuit. So therefore, this is his wealth. This is his investment. He called Oishreva Oishre. This is his Oishre with an iron and Oishre with an aleph. This is his wealth and this is his happiness. He called Iska She Osagbo, called Mitzvah Sashekiye Sheloi Hema. Because all of the busyness which he busied himself, right? All of these actions which he was busy with, and all the mitzvahs which he fulfilled, Sheloi Hema, they're his. They belong to you. Right? What you give your time to, so that becomes yours. That's very, very precious to you because that's your life. Chayav mamash hema. This is mamish's life. He's put his life into this, and that's him. He is, right? This person is in. This is his life. This, all of these activities are his life, and therefore that's the person himself. Kashe anu oimrim betfilas mayriv, like we say in the tefillah, when we daven mayriv ki heim chayenu. We say of the words of Torah, Kihem Chayenu, they are our lives. Now this becomes the content of our lives. They are our lives. Alkein Yehavis Atayah B'Avas Chachayim. And therefore he will love Torah as he would love life. And that comes from the Rashi. So we said, B'Teirose Yege. The word Yege means Yachshev. He'll think. He'll be thinking in Torah. So what does he mean here? He'll be thinking in Torah. Says Rav Dessler, there are two types of thoughts. Firstly, right? Sometimes you think about something because it happened that you saw something. You saw something that's very interesting, or something very puzzling, or something that's very surprising, and you think about it. You know, you think about what happened there. You saw an incident, and you think about what happened. Maybe you say it over to someone else, but you think about it. Or Shema, or you heard some, you heard a news item, and you heard something, and you think about what you saw, you think about what you heard, and you think about it. That's one type of thought, where the thought is a processing. We process that which we've received as input. And that's from your senses. You've seen something, you've heard something, and you bring it into your mind, and then you process it. You think about how, you know, what's, you sort of work it out for yourself. That's one type of thought, where your thought is really a reaction to that which is going around you. That's one type of thought. But there's another type of thought, and that is v'yesha sheyachshiv adam b'inyan hanogea loy harbe. That is when a person chooses to focus on a topic that affects him greatly, something that's important in his life, so he focuses, he thinks about it. And it's, what am I doing with my life? Or why am I in this world? What does Hashem want from me? Right? Why are these things happening to me? Why is such and such happening to me? Why did this happen to me? Why did I meet this person? Right? So a person thinks about things that are to do with himself, right? Issues where his life depends on his decisions. He makes decisions. We all decision makers. We make decisions about how we're going to spend our time, spend our resources, spend our energies. So therefore, a person thinks about issues that his life depends on. And these issues, right, this is the ideal. In other words, our thoughts shouldn't be just reactions to what's happening around or what we've heard. Those are sort of minor thoughts. Those shouldn't be our important thoughts. These are our main thoughts. Should be. This is the person who gives importance to living his life to the full. So it's in these issues that he thinks about it. He thinks about, you know, how he can perform better, how he can react better. Maybe there's a situation where he's got to teach someone, but he's prone to anger. This person, you know, call, right? So how can he respond? How can he do things better in his own life? This type of thought he will not hold back on thinking through. Because this is the ultimate importance. So therefore it's like a person has a very important meeting. He's got to meet someone who's very important to him. So he goes through it in his mind. How's he going to speak? What's he going to say? What are they going to discuss? How's he going to greet this person? To plan, you know, we plan issues that are important to us. So therefore, if it's important, so we will give thought to it, to doing it in a better way, in a more improved way. You know, what am I going to say? How am I going to say it? Etc. Zemashikos of Rashi Zal ki yege hu higoyin halev. It's the thinking, the thoughting, the contemplation of the heart, where a person's churning over and he's thinking about how he's going to choose to act and to react to life around him. So it's in the way of the Torah-dika way, right? Hashem's way that he's thinking day and night. He'll feel to such a degree that this Torah is his life mamish. Until he can't really think about anything else. Everything else becomes, you know, not worthwhile giving his thoughts to. His thoughts are focused on this. No b'yom v'lo b'layla, right? Neither during the day nor the night. Where a person becomes single-minded, he's totally focused on his life of Torah and mitzvahs. So therefore, everything else becomes unimportant to him. It becomes unnecessary. You know, who wants to hear it? Who wants to? Right? I'm busy. Right? I'm caught in my thoughts of how I should be living my life to the hilt, to the ultimate. And therefore, everything else just fades away. So with this verse 2, we've learned to sum up. Atam lama ish godol hamayla mushu b'chol mina ish. The reason this great person, this person who strives to be on a high level, is happy with all types of happiness, as we mentioned before, ki yodeya shu miskarev al Hashem l'tirosa shenatis lechelku b'chaim, because he knows with his every moment in life, he's coming closer to Hashem and to Hashem's Torah and to his share in eternity. He knows that each moment is precious. Like the person in the treasury, every moment he's picking up another precious stone and putting it in his bag, another diamond, another bar of gold, another bar of silver. So he knows that every moment is an opportunity where he is moving closer to Hashem, and that's a source of happiness. Imagine the happiness of that person who's stuck in that treasury. You know, he's stuffing diamonds in his shopping cart, right? So that type of happiness is the happiness we can have with each moment of life, because it's the way we respond to whatever Hashem throws our way. Like, yeah, he throws a ball at us, you catch it, right? The way we respond to the ball Hashem is throwing at us is our opportunity of coming closer to Hashem and growing greater and striving to higher heights. This becomes the part of his own life, becomes of his part of his own person. Can there be a great happiness end this.